I found one, I think. Okay?
Proverbs 27. What we're going to deal with in this particular lesson is influencing, influenced, and influencers, influencees, and the influence by the influencees and the ears. A lot of influence going on here.
Yes, sir.
No person lives in a vacuum. There is no such a thing as a victimless crime. You'll hear this sometimes in the news when they deal with a particular kind of crime and subject, and then they'll try to bring in their liberal bent and say, well, you know, there's really no victim in this. There's always an influence and a victim. Everything, anything that a person does has an effect. Nobody, no one here in this auditorium lives in a vacuum. Everything you do, anything you do, has an influence, an effect, to one degree or another, on other people. Obviously, as I said, in our home, it's just Pat and I. Everything I do will have an effect on her to lesser or greater degree, and likewise she for myself. Right now, as I said, she's down with this upper respiratory problem, and this morning she got up and she said, I'm going to use the bathroom, I am going to wash up a little before I get dressed. When she was done, she said, man, that totally wiped me out. And I acknowledged it. She said, no, I mean it. I just have no energy left anymore just from that. Now you say, well, how'd that affect you? Well, for 10 minutes, I couldn't use the bathroom. Well, now if I didn't need to, it didn't matter, did it? But some of you may know we have an upstairs bathroom, so I would have. But you see, it had an effect. Now, when she bakes a cake, it also has an effect. See, you have different kinds of effects, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And so everything, anything that a person does has an effect to one degree or another. You say, well, I live alone. Yeah, but it's only in your house. You see, you have people outside of your house. But even the things that we do when an individual lives alone, it has an effect. Even though they do it alone in the house, it has an effect on others, because you see, what we do is part of ourselves, and therefore, when we go out of our house, we interact with others. And therefore, when a person is into pornography, for example, it corrupts their soul and their spirit. And when they go out, now they are involved with other people, but they have corrupted their own soul and spirit.
Yep.
So you see,
yep.
Everything. Now, Proverbs chapter 27, and our text verse is 17. Proverbs 27, 17. You've likely heard this quoted. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. In other words, we are to have an interaction with other people in a positive manner and in a manner that develops them and matures them. And so iron sharpeneth iron. You know, I've always heard that, and I know the point it's making, but I could never quite. What do you mean iron sharpeneth iron? So you take one dull axe and another dull axe. Now how do we get it sharp out of that? Okay? You take a pitchfork or something of that sort, and you take a mattox or a pickaxe, you know, that's used for digging. Now how does it sharpen that? I never could understand it. Now, because I believe God's word, and because I don't understand it, doesn't make it not so. So I just commonly accept it. And then guess what happened? One day I studied it. It's amazing what you can learn when you study something and you read, and I didn't have to do a lot of studying. It could be historically that a metal file was the basis of this proverb. Okay, iron sharpeneth iron, a metal file, you know that. Any of you that are involved with tools, you know that. Take a metal file and you can sharpen. When I have a scissors, and I never buy really good scissors because I'm hard on scissors. And Pat won't let me use her really good scissors. So I buy inexpensive scissors, but they get dull. I take them out, put them in my vise, and I take a metal file, and I endeavor to follow the same angle. You notice that word, endeavor? To follow the same angle. And you know, when I do, it sharpens it. But when I don't use it properly, it doesn't sharpen. Now a knife is another one. I'm hard on knives. I don't pay good money for knives. Now this happens to be a Gerber, and I got this as a Christmas gift from a man who's now in heaven. Therefore, this is extra good. But you know, I have tried to use a whetstone. How many of you men can use a whetstone? One, two, three, four, five, six. I cannot. I don't know what I don't do right, and don't waste your time trying to tell me. I'm just too ignorant to learn. And so I bought, this is a no-no, but I went out and bought one of those grind wheel stone sharpeners of knives. And you know, just and you go over to the finer wheel, and there it is, it'll cut. Now I know what's gonna happen. Eventually this will go away if I keep using it. But anyway, they didn't use a whetstone. It says iron sharpeneth iron. It's probably a metal file. Now I say probably, I don't know, I can't prove that, other than what I'm gonna show you. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Chapter 13. I want you to notice what's here. Yet they had a file for the mattox and for the coulters and for the forks. Who? 21. 1 Samuel 13, 21. They had a file for the mattox, for the coulters, for the forks, for the axes, to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle. Now, so right there in verse 21, you see they had a file. So we know that they used files. But let's read on. I began to find this interesting. Now, I found support for the idea that probably iron sharpening iron was a metal file. Is probably, possibly, okay, the reference that's used there. Verse 22, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. Stop right there. It's not a period, but we're gonna stop there. So they didn't have any swords or spears. The Philistines, when they conquered them, wouldn't let them have swords and spears. They were weapons. And they wouldn't be able to rise up in insurrection if they didn't have the weapons. All right, I put a pause on that because we know that they had bows and arrows, okay? We know that they had slings, the kind that David used to kill Goliath, okay? So we know they had those as weapons, but as far as swords, and spears, they didn't have any. They weren't allowed to have them. And none of the people, notice that, because I had to read this a couple times before I understood it. And neither sword nor spear in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. The inference there was found swords and spears. And so they had gotten hold of some swords and spears, but there were only a few of them. All of the people that were with them didn't have a sword and spear, but there were some like Saul and Jonathan, and I don't know how many more, 50 more maybe, that they had hidden the swords and spears, and so they had them, they had them, but not all of the people. And so, but you know, we looked at this for the sake of the file of the Maddox. Now, turn to 2 Kings 24:14. 2 Kings 24. Now this is just a parenthesis on the subject of influence and iron sharpening iron. But I thought, wow, if this is interesting to me, it probably will be to some others. chapter 24 and verse 14. And this is referring to Jerusalem being besieged. And verse 11 says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And then verse 14, and he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives. Now here's the key. And all the craftsmen and, what's the next word? Smiths. Uh-huh. All of the men that would work with metal.
Yep.
All of the men that would have been instrumental in creating or maintaining swords and spears. So that's why they took away the weapons. Boy, let's just quick jump to 2019. You see, we got a political situation here. King of Babylon said, we're not going to let them people have weapons.
Yep.
So here we are now in 2019, and the Nebuchadnezzars don't want to let the people, you and me, have guns. They want to take away our weapons. And those weapons that we have were intended by our founding fathers to give us protection from each other. No, that wasn't their primary goal, though it would do that. Their primary goal was to give people protection from the government, even though they were creating the government. Because our founding fathers were smart enough to know that any government can become corrupt. And that's when the people need weapons. It is not just, isn't that interesting, that in Hitler's Germany, he took away weapons.
Right.
You go to other countries, when a dictator comes in, when a government becomes corrupt, and what they'll want to do is disarm the citizens. Why? So they cannot rise up. And he carried away all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained. Here's what kind of people were left. Save the poorest sort of the people of the land. That's not a put down of the poorest sort of the people of the land, but they didn't have any, they didn't have the skills necessary. They didn't even have, it's very possible, they didn't even have the mental abilities to be able to organize the people that were left to defend themselves. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah 24 in verse 1. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim. This is what was being talked about in 2 Kings. the king of Judah and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths. So there again, we see another reference supporting the first reference to the fact that the metal workers were taken away from Jerusalem. And now, you know, an interesting thing is when you read and study, there are some people who are against the Bible. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
There are some people against the Bible. And one of the things that they like to do and say, well, you know, back in that age, the people didn't have the ability to be working with metals.
Yeah,
really. I remember when I first heard that, decades ago. Oh, that's pathetic. You have to say decades ago. But it was. I mean, back in the beginning of my years in ministry and reading and studying, the Jews, they probably didn't have swords and spears because they didn't have the metal working abilities. Well, you know, to a young man who doesn't know anything, and here's an older fellow who sounds very intelligent. So you think, well, okay, they didn't have metal back in those days. That's not true.
Yeah, that's right.
First of all, archaeology proves that they did. And the Bible, in passages like we're looking at, shows us that they had metalworking abilities. And to the extent, an ability that they didn't want to leave those smiths around where they could create the kind. How many of you fellas like to watch? Now, I don't, okay? I'm nothing against it. I just don't watch it. That show, it's Iron Something, and they're making swords and spears and all different kinds of things with metal and forges. Maybe forge is part of the name of it.
Forged in iron?
Forged in iron? Okay, that very well could be. But boy, that shows them, and then it's a competition, okay? Three, four fellas, and they have to make a specified kind of sword or knife or whatever it is, okay? And then they do it using the forges. That's what we're talking about. People that had those kind of skills like have become an entertainment for us. I can see you're all impressed.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to, but the point I'm making with this is that the liberals are liars. That's not only true politically, that's true theologically. And so the liberals who do not want to accept the Bible at face value, that do not want to accept what the Bible says, they'll go to any lengths to try to prove that it isn't so. And because they sound intelligent, and they do, I mean, they have the ability with their speech and their talk to communicate what sounds like facts. And then the people who don't know, they can easily be taken in. But we're back in Proverbs chapter 27, and the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, names iron as the sharpener rather than a whetstone. And it shows that one man is of the same nature as another. Iron sharpeneth iron. The metal file made of a form of iron now sharpens the weapon or the tool. And so it is. You and I, we are of the same nature. And it makes the sameness of us is what makes it possible for us to help each other. For you to help an individual, for you in your interaction with another person to be able to strengthen them. Or they, you. people are basically alike. The old saying, and I use it frequently, you know, men put their pants on the same way, one leg at a time. And you all have heard me tell how one fella said to me, no, I don't, you know. And I thought, well, how not, you know? And he said, well, I sit down and put both legs in at once and pull them up. Well, that ruins that saying, but the point is the same, you know. We all end up wearing pants, all right? One leg or both legs, it doesn't matter. And so when you interact with another person, you're able to benefit them, or they are able to benefit you, because they are as you. They are iron sharpening iron. One man influencing another man. 2 Corinthians, keep your place in Proverbs 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Here's an example of how God uses this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Let me begin in the end of verse 3. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? To help us? Surely it does. But that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort where we with ourselves have been comforted. We are able to sharpen them. Iron sharpeneth iron. I am able to comfort another person who is going through a particular trial or experience because I went through that trial or experience. Now, that isn't true for everything. I haven't experienced everything. However, if it's a physical problem, I may not have that physical problem, but I may have had another one and experienced the grace of God to deal with that. And so here in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, we have an example of iron sharpening iron. One man helping another man because of what he has experienced. And so Proverbs 27, 17, the verse teaches us that interaction with other people influences their manner of living, their appearance, their conduct. You see what I mean? Their appearance. Well, when a Christian begins to push the envelope of how they dress, okay, and they get into the matter of immodesty, okay, but if that's a Christian who is liked, or if that's a Christian who is looked up to, okay, then what happens, they push the envelope of modesty and they begin to dress less than modestly, and then that can influence another one. Iron sharpeneth iron. I guess I could say, for the point I'm trying to make, is iron can dull iron too.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that's true. I take a file and try to sharpen the scissor. Okay? Iron's dulling iron. You have to be under the control of God in order for us to be able to influence each other in a profitable manner. Conduct, what a person does, how a person acts. Well, you know, I never used to go to bingo. And then, you know, I got to thinking, wow, back when I was a kid, we played bingo in the living room, and we had just a great time and fun. And now, I can go to the bingo hall, the fact that I might be able to, I'm going to play more cards, because I'm going to be able to win. That's what I call gambling light.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You say, well, that's just a game. Yeah, so is poker.
Yeah.
But that's not used in a profitable way for a Christian. You say, what's wrong with Christians gambling? Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. I have a series of messages on that subject.
Come on.
And I might just bring them out sometime. Now, that won't be done in 1 week, that's for sure. But our conduct, we can influence another person. Somebody may be weak in the area. I mean, their family grew up with scratch cards. It's only a dollar. You know, I can waste a dollar on a Slim Jim, or I can waste a dollar on a scratch card. Yeah, but you know all you're going to get out of a Slim Jim is immediate gratification. And you're looking for longer gratification with a scratch card.
Yeah.
You're hoping you'll get, you know, you may only get $5. Yes?
How many weeks would it take you to do that on gambling?
Two for sure.
Okay.
Maybe three.
Let's pick a 1 o'clock somewhere in the next 30 days and get you a couple of weeks in a row to do that. I think that's really important.
Okay. All right. I will look at the messages and see
just
where
I have time-wise.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah.
Okay. And so, you see, the point is, thank you. The point is that somebody may be weak in an area, and then if you yourself go into something that you normally wouldn't have, but because you have been influenced, now your changing is going to influence them, and they're going to be weakened. Now, and so the Bible talks about the matter of stumbling and being a stumbling block. Now, I know if I want, I can make a stumbling block out of anything. That has been so misused. But then again, it does talk about a stumbling block. So there is such a thing as a stumbling block. And just because it's been misused doesn't mean that we ignore it. That is something that the Bible talks about. And so, but let's put it now over on the positive side. When it comes to the matter of iron sharpening iron. You've been in a boy, something just came to mind. Something that, I don't know if it's something Pat heard from somebody that we know, but they took a step of growth. There was something that they were participating in, and they came to realize this was not good for them as a Christian. It was not good. It did not help them in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So they made a determination to not do whatever it was. Okay, and so they were strengthened. Now, guess what? Other people who interact with them will see that.
Amen.
And iron will sharpen iron. They will be influenced in a positive way to consider what this person that they know once, let's just stay, it wasn't scratch cards, but let me stay with that illustration. They knew they did the $1 or $5 scratch cards, and now they don't. Of course, what always happens when you realize that? Well, why?
Yep.
You're always in. Let every man be ready to give an account for the hope that he had. Boy, that is a butchering of that verse. every one of us is to be ready instant, in season and out of season. I think I'm combining a couple verses here. But we're to be ready to be able to explain why. And that doesn't mean the person will accept it. Doesn't mean they're going to say, oh, that's marvelous. I'm going to do that too. No, it's more likely they're going to snicker and chuckle at you. But that's okay. What's more important is your relationship with Jesus Christ and the strengthening that's needed from it. All right, I got to keep moving along here if I'm going to get done in 1 week. This is pathetic when you can't even do a 1 week message in 1 week. Now look at verse 19. As in water, face answereth face, so the heart of a man to man. You look in clear water and you see an image there. Okay. and so the heart of man to man. You see, as we interact with each other. We know, and if it's with a person that you know, you have an understanding of how they think, how they act, what's important and not important to them. And so just, you know, you look at them and you know where they're at. And so because we are similar, okay, now, man to man, okay, man to man, a man knows how a man thinks. A man knows how a man feels about things. This doesn't always work with women, because men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Now, somebody wrote a good book about that. Well, I don't know if it's a good book or not. It's just tight. But telling about the differences between men and women. So, you know, I can look at Kyle and I can get an idea as I would interact with Kyle. We become friends and we do things together. We work together. We'll go on a hike together. And you know, you get to know somebody. So something comes up. I got an idea how Kyle's going to think about that. But I don't know how Tiffany thinks, you know. All I know is she's a woman. And women think different.
Yeah.
She's probably not going to take the same outlook in this as Kyle and I do. Okay? And so, but iron sharpening iron, man to man, woman to woman. Okay? The same works between women. And so, it's important that we are able to work with each other. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12:1. You'll recognize this verse. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It is so urgently put upon youth to live for God, so that they get the course of their life set the way it should be. You know, a tree, a young tree that just for whatever reason begins to grow like this, what do? You take a piece of rubber hose and you take a cable. The rubber hose is on the tree so the cable doesn't mar it. And then you slowly pull it back. You don't pull it back all at once. You pull it back a little, stake it down, and now it begins to grow. Then maybe the end of the year you can pull it back a little more, and you're shaping it. And so when you learn how to grow when you're young, it's important for our children to know the truth, and it'll serve them well. And it's urgent for our children to learn this. All right, now, last one here. I'm back in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. I expect that you have heard, a word to the wise is sufficient. How many of you have heard that? A word to the wise is sufficient. Yeah, a number of you have. It's a common saying. It's not a Bible verse, but the thought of that is contained in many Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. A word to the wise is sufficient. When a person is wise, they receive an instruction, they're going to get knowledge from it. Sometimes it's just a basic and you take it in and that's it. Other times it's involved with a rebuke or a reproof. But a wise person will learn from it. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Help us to be the kind of people that benefit each other, that help each other in our manner of living. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Oh. Thank you. Mm-hmm.